الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Before I start, just one request: if you all can move up a little bit so people from the back who come in, they don't have to walk over others. Please recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The month of Muharram, the month of Ahlul Bayt, is a month in which, just like you see in Ramadan, the Quran was revealed in this month, in the month of Ramadan, the Ahlul Bayt were revealed in the month of Muharram. By Nuzul, when Allah says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, the meaning of Nuzul is not that it came from up from the heaven to earth. The meaning of Nuzul is that it was brought down to the level where we can grasp it, where we can comprehend it. It was in a level that we could not comprehend, and it was brought down to the level that we can grasp it, we can comprehend it. That is the meaning of Nuzulul Quran. It was brought down to our level where we can actually grasp it and understand it. Just like that, Ashura is the day in which Ahlul Bayt were brought down to our level that we can really grasp them and feel our and get attached to them and have an emotional attachment with them. And as you see that this is a month that a mu'min, a believer, should as much as he can try to understand Imam Hussein, understand his mission, understand his message, know what he's about. And in these few days that I'm here, just a little bit, I would just like to speak about this understanding of Imam Hussein that we need to have. One of the things that we see clearly in what Imam Hussein had done is the fact that his task and his responsibility was unique. What he had done was distinct from what the other Imams have done. And before I go into those distinctions and before I go into those things that make him unique, one thing that obviously needs to be understood and is understood by all of us, but just to reiterate that, is the fact that all of the Imams and all of Ahlul Bayt, they are one and the same. Min Nurin Wahid, that they come from the same light and they speak from the same source and they live by the same creed. So whenever we speak of differences amongst the Imams, it is not differences in their being or in their knowledge or in their faith or ideology. The differences are in the circumstances that surround them, and hence everyone played a different role and did a different thing. When we look at Imam Hussein, in order to truly see the difference of Imam Hussein, how different he was from the others, we need to see certain difference in the certain things. For example, we need to see the differences in the circumstances that Imam Hussein faced and lived in as opposed to the circumstances that the other Imams lived in. We need to see the difference in the friends that Imam Hussein had as opposed to the friends that the other Imams have, companions. We need to see the difference in the enemies of Imam Hussein. Who were the enemies of Imam Hussein as compared to those that the other Imams have? And by understanding that, we would know who Imam Hussein is and why he did what he has done. Because we don't see any other Imams doing that which Imam Hussein had done. We don't see any Imam putting their children and their wives in harm's way. Everyone was shaheed. They did their own jihad, they were shaheed. But you see, Imam Hussein brought out his household in the battlefield. It was different. And hence we need to know why that difference exists so we can understand the message Imam Hussein has for us. This is something that I want to shed a light on. The one thing that obviously I can't discuss everything, but what I will discuss in these 3 days is that from the point of view of enemies, who were those who opposed Imam Hussein? Who were these people? Who were the enemies of Imam Hussein and what made them different from the enemies that Imam Ali faced or Imam Hassan faced or any other Imam? What was the difference? And by understanding that difference, we would see why Imam Hussein did what he has done. And let me now start with that if you send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When Imam Ali alayhi salam was the Khalifa, and in his Khilafat, there were different groups of people who came out and opposed him. Different groups of people. And these groups of people who opposed Imam Ali, Imam describes those people. He opposed them, he fought with them. And he describes who these people are and even gave names for them. And he describes 3 groups. And he said, these are the 3 groups that I had to face and I fought against and I destroyed. And he gave names for them also so they could be identified. And he went on to describe those groups also so that their qualities would always be remembered and known, so that whenever a group like that comes about, then they would be identified and say, you are the people of Jamal or you are the people of Nahrawan. And so he said that there were 3 groups. These groups were Khasitin, Ma'rikin, and Naqisin. One was the group that came to fight with him in the Battle of Jamal, Zubair, Talha, and Ummul Mu'mineen also was there, and others of that group. And there's that group that came out to fight against him in Nahrawan, the Kharijis, the Khawarij. And then there's another group that came to fight against him in Safin, Muawiyah, and Amr ibn Ayyas, and that group. Now these 3 groups who opposed Imam Ali, Imam Ali fought with them. He fought with them. He broke down their reasoning, because anyone who comes out to fight has some basis that they stand on. No one just fights because, you know, there's nothing to fight for. They have a reason. They give that reason and they water that reason until it becomes strong so that their offense and aggression can be justified. Just like that, those people had reasoning. They gave out reason that this is why they're standing against the Imam of their time. They came out against the Imam of their time and they fought against him. So now after they fought against him, Imam first broke down their reasoning, their arguments, any justification that they have in such a way that forever those groups have been condemned as un-Islamic. Forever, anyone who reads history, who knows Islam, they'll say, no, these groups were wrong because Imam Ali dealt a blow to them in such a way that they did not have no place to run. And he killed two groups right away, but he fatally wounded one group that died later, which is Muawiyah's group. Right? They didn't die off right away, they died out later. Later on they died. They didn't die at that time. But Imam Ali made them such, and made them look such, and exposed them in such a way that anyone who's religious and knows Islam will condemn them as being un-Islamic. No one who's Islamic can say that no, Muawiyah was Islamic and what he did was right. No one in their right mind at least will say that. Right? Now, if you happen to be a Khariji of that ideology, which is obviously upside down, where the world is upside down, so they will always refer to them as radiyallahu anhu. Right, without even understanding who they are and what they did. But for those who analyze and those who know and those who have understood history, they will look at them and condemn them for being un-Islamic. Imam Ali did that. So when he fought with these groups, then you see, who did Imam Hussein fight with? This is where I want to, for you to now pay attention. Imam Ali, when he dealt with these three groups, one thing we need to understand is that at that time when he was alive and he was fighting these three groups, there was a fourth group. There was a fourth group of people that had no name. They had no name, they had no title, but there was a fourth group that Imam Ali was not able to deal with. He was not able to deal with them, and it is this fourth group that Imam Hussein had to expose. And that fourth group is what I want to discuss about. Who are these fourth group? Because we need to know them, first of all, to obviously make sure that we are not one of them. Right? And that if we ever see that ideology, how do we identify it and make sure that this ideology is fought against? This is why we need to know that fourth group that Imam Hussein had to reveal and had to expose. Because this fourth group was a silent group that all these other three groups used to come into power with. The fourth group never came into power. It is this, all three groups, right? The one who came out in Jamal, the one who came out in Nahrawan, and Siffin, all these three groups stood on the shoulders of this fourth group, used the fourth group to stand up on and fight against the Imam. If this fourth group wasn't there, then those people would never had the platform to stand on. Imam Ali was fighting these three groups and never had the time to deal with the fourth group. Imam Hussein knew that fourth group, as long as that exists, it will always come out and fight against Islam, and tyrants will stand on their shoulders to fight against the Imam of the time.
Muhammad Ali Muhammad Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now here, just one thing that needs to be understood. The first quality I'm mentioning right now, so we know this. You see, the three groups that are there, right? Naqisin, Qasitin, and Marikin. These three battles that Imam Ali fought. It was very easy to identify them. That's why Imam Ali gave them a name also. Right? They came out, Imam Ali gave them a name, so it is understood. It was understood that this is who they are. But this fourth group, it's very hard to identify them. It's very hard to name them. It's very hard to know who they are. The reason it's easy to identify those three groups is because they had something that this fourth group did not have. The other way also, it's very hard to recognize the fourth group because they lack something that the other three had. What the other three had that made it easy to recognize them is that they had courage. They had guts. They had a spine. You know, they were not afraid. They were brave enough to stand up. Even if it's for batil, they were brave enough to stand up for it. And because they were brave enough to put their head out of the water, Imam Ali could have cut it off. It was easy for him, because once you get out there and make yourself known, then now we know where you stand now. See, this is what happens whenever you speak. You see, as Amir al-Mu'mineen said, you're hiding behind your tongue, and when you speak, you reveal yourself. If you're silent, no one knows who you are. But once you start to speak, then people will know you. You know, as the saying goes, it's better to be silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. It's salawat. So what happened is that this three groups had courage. They were able to stand up against the Imam of their time. They were able to say that, yes, this is what we are standing for. They did that. So it was easy to identify them. The first thing that you can say identifies, or you can say about the fourth group that makes them particular, is that they don't have guts. They don't have a spine. They are gutless, nameless, spineless group of people who are always hidden. It's very hard to catch these people because they don't do crimes. They're too scared to do crimes. They're too afraid to do wrong also. But they always end up helping the wrong. They always end up helping the wrong. Now we'll keep a name for them so that we can refer to them. They are known as the people. They are known as the people, the masses of people that are always there. And because they don't say something, then the tyrants use that and use them, their silent agreement, to stand up on and fight the Imam of the time. That was the fourth group. And they were responsible for Muawiyah. You think that Muawiyah had people behind him? He had power. How many people did Ibn Ziyad come to? He had 12 people when he came to Kufa. Where did the people come from to fight against Imam Hussein? He came with 12 people. Just 12. You know? Who do you think that gave the platform for these 12 people to come out and fight against Imam Hussein? The Imam of their time. Who gave them that? The masses. The people. Right? This is why you see that Imam Ali went to fight with these people, the three groups, because they came out. Now, in order to bring out the fourth group, Imam Hussein could not go to them, because you know what? This is an enemy that has no name, that has no address, that has no head that it could be cut off. They're hiding. They're undercover. They're in masses. How do you fight the masses? How do you fight the people? Imam Hussein did not go to them and fight. Imam Hussein changed the battle plan. He had to reveal this fourth group, that was always there and they're always harming because they never stand up and do anything wrong, but they help criminals stand up and do crime. Who? How can Imam Hussein bring them out? Well, what Imam Hussein did, my friends, what Imam Hussein did is that he changed. Imam Ali fought with them, but Imam Hussein, what he did is that he made a circle around in Karbala and he made the situation such that those who are sitting behind, silent, do not want to take part. Because the way that these people think is this. You know what? You know, we don't take sides. This is fitna. Right? And when fitna is going on, we should not take sides and just stay away. We don't want to take sides. We are neutral. You know, we don't get involved in politics. We don't take sides. In Imam Ali's time, these people who fought against Imam Hussein were who? Were people who were neutral. They didn't take sides. They went with Ali, they were not with Muawiyah. They stood away. They said, this is all fitna and we don't want to take part. We are good Muslim muttaqi people. Right? And they act muttaqi also. So what happened is that these people were who? Like for example, Umar ibn Sa'd. Who was Umar ibn Sa'd? Umar ibn Sa'd was a person who was known to stand on the sidelines. Never took part in any battle, never took part in any war, never took a side. He was the ultimate neutral man. You look at him, he's neutral. Oh yes, yes, he is a good person, he prays and fasts, never takes a side. And the reason he was made the commander of the army. The reason he was made the commander of the army is because they knew that this guy is neutral and people trust him, that he is not a warmonger, and they will come out in numbers, because if he comes out, they will say he is a person who doesn't like war, so we can go out with him. That's why he was brought out as a commander, so that this masses can come out. But Imam Hussein, what he did now to bring these people out, he made a circle in Karbala. He made a circle and he made the situation such that if you do not come out to help him, then you will be condemned. See what he did. You see, until Imam Hussein, it was alright to stay away and make the excuse that I'm at home, I don't want to get involved. But the reason Imam Hussein brought his family and children with him is so that the situation becomes such that if you don't come out to fight, then you will be wrong. So from that time onwards, he showed to the people that those who do not come out and take the side of truth, they will be forever condemned to be with the batil. So from Karbala onwards, no one can say, I do not have a side. If you don't have a side, it means your side is Yazid. If you don't take the side, it means that you're on the wrong side. In order to be with the truth, you have to take a side after Karbala. Before Karbala, you could have justified it. But Imam Hussein brought out these silent, nameless, gutless group of people and said that if you don't come out now, now forever you will be blamed. Because you did not come to help the Imam of your time. That's why Imam Hussein did not go with a sword. He went with a different way. Any excuse that people would have not to join him. They say, well, you know what? We don't know where the truth is and this and that. You know, we need more proof. And this happens. You know, like Muawiyah is raising the Quran and he's reading. Oh, okay, Muawiyah is raising the Quran, so proof, this and that. They said, we have no real proof that he's right or wrong. So Imam Hussein then said, okay, what kind of proof do you need? Is Ali Asghar enough of a proof? Is that enough of a proof for you? You know, I mean, is there any more proof you need? You see how Imam Hussein brought this out. He made it such that, you know what, you don't come forward, now you will be blamed, this fourth group of people. Alright, and this is what we need to, who are these fourth group? This was explained by our Imams, who are these people? Imam Ali explained it, but he never had the time to deal with them. It is Imam Hussein who dealt with them. That's why Imam Hussein needed to bring his family and children out. No one knew this. Right? Really, my friends. Imam Ali, you see all the people who were there with him? They had an excuse to be with him. They were fighting. Many people who came to fight against Imam Hussein were with Imam Ali. Shimr, he was one of the officers in Imam Ali's army who came out to fight against Imam Hussein. Right? And we need to analyze what is it about these people. Who are these people? Because very simplistic to say that, oh, they're evil people, bad people. Or most times, you know, most of the time you also hear, oh, they had hubbe dunya and that's what made them. No, it's too simplistic of an answer. We need to analyze who these people are and how did these people become the way they did. Because that is something that we need to look at ourselves and say, are we one of those people? Are we one of those people that we are silently agreeing to the zulm of zalim and the oppressors, and they are using our silence as an agreement to stand up and do wrong? Are we that group of people? Because these are the people who killed Imam Hussein. And before I go on, just let me say one thing. You need to understand, my friends. Alright? Let me say one thing, and this is needs to be made clear of what I'm saying. Is this, that the only Imam, my Imam Hussein is the only Imam. Imam Hussein is the only Imam who was killed by the people. Every other Imam was killed by somebody. By the Khalifa of their time, by Ibn Muljim, by one person or another who went and killed him. Imam Hussein was the only person who was killed by the masses. He was the only person where the people came out and killed him. And that's what he wanted. He wanted to expose the people. Because he knew that the people would be a very revered term. Something that's respected. And he wanted to prove to everyone that it's the people who cause crime in the world. It's the people who cause the tyrants to grow in the world. And these people should not be respected. Those who believe in Karbala cannot respect the people. They can only respect those who are with the Imam of the time. This is what he has done. He has exposed the people. Because it's the people who came out and killed him. Not one or two, but thousands. A mass of people came out. From all walks of life. From different walks of life. They came out to kill Imam Hussein. You see what Imam Hussein did. Yes, he put a big bait in. And he made it such that he exposed that group that oppressed, that was the reason and the cause of the oppression of his father and his brother. You know, Imam Ali was oppressed by whom? He was really oppressed by the people who were not standing up for the Imam of their time. And saying out and speaking out against the wrong that's happening. When Imam Hassan made a treaty with Muawiyah, Mu'mineen were coming up to him and saying, Ya Mudill al-Mu'mineen, O you who has, you have disgraced the believers. You have humiliated the believers. And you call yourself the Imam of your time. You know, spit on you. Imagine this, my friends. And Imam Hassan is trying to explain to them, but I made the treaty for you. I made it for you. What do you mean you made it for me? For us? He says, don't you understand? If I didn't make the treaty, then it would be a trial on you to stand up with me. I made it for you so you can have time to grow. So you won't be put in the trial of fighting against the Imam of your time. And Imam Hussain brought out those people and showed them that what Imam Hassan did was a favor on them by sitting down. Otherwise, if the Imam stands up, then you would be in the trial of fighting against the Imam. You see, Imam Hassan did a favor on the people by making the treaty. Otherwise, if he didn't make the treaty and stood up, then you know what? Do you think you will be with him or you will be with Muawiyah? You see, the trial will be on you. He let it go. He made it easy on you. And Imam Hussein had to expose those people that were the cause of the oppression, so that this, if his message is understood forever, no matter how long we live, as long as Karbala is remembered, then we have to understand it is not Yazid. Imam Hussein didn't go to expose Yazid. A lot of people say that, oh, Yazid was exposed by Imam Hussein. Now, Imam Hussein didn't expose Yazid. Yazid was already exposed. Yazid was already exposed. You think he needed to be exposed by anyone? Right. Look at Yazid, right? I mean, Yazid, he came to Medina. Came to Medina when he was the prince, not the king. He was the prince. He came to Medina. An alcoholic, couldn't be without alcohol, so he was drinking, drunk all the time. So they had arranged for a gathering of leaders in Medina, call all the big guys, you know, all the big people to come to meet Yazid, so he could be introduced to the brass of the Muslim leadership. Yazid was drinking, and his advisors, who are the ulama around them, you know, you always have the agent ulama who always work to make sure that, you know, their king and the one who gives them money is shielded from every type of wrongness. You know, they always say, you know, he didn't mean anything wrong by that, you know, or, you know, his intentions were good. Intentions were good, you know, I mean, he killed a few people. His intentions were, he didn't mean it. It was just an accident. You know, well, how are you defending him, man? Let him defend himself. But you see, no, the ulama are always there to say that, no, what our bread giver is doing is right. You know, if they're going and killing Muslims elsewhere, it's all right. You know, they're doing right. Don't worry about it. You know, they're justified in their actions. Who justified that? Now, these sort of ulama will always be there. Watch out for them. Because they were the ones who propped up Yazid on a pedestal and showed him as good to all the unknowing and ignorant Muslims. He showed it to them. Oh, look at Yazid, he's good, you know, this and that. Even though everyone knew he was bad. So now, when these ulama, they came to him and said, listen, Yazid, right? You know, you drink and all that, but listen, Muslim leaders are coming here, they won't like this, so please, you need to put this away. So Yazid said, alright, you know, I mean, it makes sense, right? Take out the wine and bring the ether and, you know, apply it on me. So they came out and applied incense and, you know, oils and perfumes on him so he smells good. You know, so as the Muslim leadership was entering, Ibn Abbas was there, you know, also, and he was smelling something, but, you know, he asked, what is the smell, you know? He said, you know, oh, it's just the ithr that he's a new one, you know, it's new in the market. Okay, sad there, right? But obviously, Imam Hussein, who was invited there, he wasn't going to be fooled like that. Imam Hussein, right away when he entered, he said, what kind of smell is this? This is wine. They said, no, it's not mine, the ulama, it's not that, it's fine, it's a new ether, this and that. You know, Imam Hussain was looking at them, you could fool Ibn Abbas, not me, come on. You know, and you know, yeah, they're trying to justify it, and Yazid obviously was impatient. You know, I mean, he didn't like all this anyway, this hypocrisy and all that. And he said, you know, so right away he blew up. He said, the hell with this, get the wine out. Get the wine out here. They brought the wine out here, and he offered it to Imam Hussain, here, have some. Imam Hussein, in disgust, walked out of there. Right? So, you think that Imam Hussein was trying to expose Yazid? Everyone knew who Yazid was. Everyone knew who he was. You think he was trying to say that, oh, Yazid is bad, you know, we need to do. No, Yazid was already exposed. He wasn't trying to expose Yazid. He was trying to expose the masses of people who Yazid was standing on, who were supporting Yazid and helping him to stand up. Those are the people Imam Hussein is trying to expose. That's what he was trying to do in Karbala, and he exposed them. He brought them out and he made all of them be responsible for killing him and his family. So that from that time onwards, we, the people, will always be condemned. He said that if you want to be right, do not identify yourself as one amongst the people. Identify yourself as one amongst the followers of the Imam. Salawat ala Muhammad. This is what Imam Hussein wanted, my friend, to identify this fourth group. I'll go in some details in the next 2 days regarding who this group is. What makes them, the people, right? But when you look at it, all these people came out. And this was the intention of Imam Hussein, to bring them out. To get them out so that when they come out, they will be exposed. They will be revealed and their intentions will be known. This was Imam Hussein's whole intention. Now, if we are Husseini, if we believe in Imam Hussein, we cannot stand with the people. Anyone who says, oh, we the people, you know, don't like what's going on. Yeah, you the people killed Imam Hussein. You the people killed Imam Hussein. Right, we believe in Karbala. You cannot fool us by saying we the people. Right, you the people killed Imam Hussein. You the people fight the Imam. You the people are responsible for the tyrants ruling this world. It's you the people. You know, if it... You know, and that, why? Because what happened to that when you will see this, that if you had spoken out when others had claimed their khilafat and took it away from Imam Ali, you think that Karbala would have happened? When the door was broken down on Fatima, if you had spoken out, do you think Karbala would have happened? When Imam Ali was tied in ropes and dragged in the streets of Medina, do you think that Imam Hussein's children will be butchered? If you had seen Imam Hassan being sprayed with arrows and spoke out against it, do you think Karbala would have happened? As Karbala happened because people did not speak up. People gave their silent agreement to the tyrants of the time. And this is the group that Imam Hussein wanted to destroy. Because this group had hurt Imam Ali. This group was the one that hurt Imam Hassan. And he knew that he had to fight against this group of people so that the other imams who are coming, they don't have to deal with them. And this is the group that he wanted to reveal. Anyone who can understand Karbala, understand that this is the group that we have to fight. You know, friends, it wasn't easy. You know, understand this. Many people came to kill Imam Hussein. And what do you think all the people on the other side were? I mean, they came to watch, have fun, watch the fight, for the excitement. They all came with a purpose, for whatever reason, for whatever price that was there, to kill Imam Hussein and his children. They all came for that purpose, they all came out there. This is why you see that it was depressing being on the side of Imam Hussein. In Karbala, it was very depressing. Look at those people who came out. And then the whole environment in the camp of Imam Hussein was gloomy. It was very gloomy looking at the environment. You know, because everyone who comes to the land of Karbala or nearby, they see they're going to Yazid's side. They're going to Yazid's side. It was sad for the people there wondering,
I mean, isn't there anyone who's going to come to help Imam Hussein? Anyone? Is there anyone there who's going to help him, be on his side? Everyone's coming on the other side. Everyone's coming on the other side. You know, Zainab, she called Imam Hussein to her tent. Imam Hussein went to her tent and said, "Yes, sister, what can I do for you?" She said, "Hussein, you know, everyone who comes here, Hussein, everyone who's coming here is coming for Yazid. Everyone. All the armies that have come here have come to Yazid. No one has come to you. Isn't there anyone in the Ummah of Muhammad who's going to help his grandson? Anyone? Bring someone, anyone." I mean, really, Hussein had to give some comfort to Zainab. He said, "Why not? There is, and there will be. Zainab, don't worry, someone will come to us." You see, Imam Hussein wrote a letter. He wrote a letter, send it to Kufa. And when the messenger came to the house of Habib ibn Mazahir, he knocked on the door. Habib opened the door and saw him. What's happening? Imam Hussein wrote the letter. And he said, letter, Habib read the letter, folded it up, put it away, put away the letter. His wife said, "Who is it?" He said, "It's a messenger, mailman from Hussein." She said, "What's he saying? You know, what's he saying? You know what I mean? Habib, you know who Habib is. Habib, he wanted to prepare his wife. You know, he knew what he had to do. But Habib was not someone who's normal. Habib was always a person who loved Imam Hussein. You know, one day the Prophet was walking in the bazaar. He was walking on the street in Medina. And Imam Hussein was walking with him. Imam Hussein was a toddler. He was walking next to him. And one of the companions of the Prophet came, and his son was behind him. And as they were walking down, you see that the companion was speaking to the Prophet. They were walking side by side. Imam Hussein was behind them, and the companion son was behind Imam Hussein. And the Prophet, as he was walking down, he stopped at one place and just turned around. He just turned around, looked at the son of the companion, asked him to come forward. He asked him to come forward. He took his face in his hands and he kissed him on the head. And then he made a dua. He said, "May Allah send your parents to heaven. Your parents will be in heaven, I assure you of that." The parent of that son, the companion, said, "Ya Rasulullah, what has he done? I mean, that deserves this praise and deserves this reward." He says, "Because I have seen your son as he was walking behind Hussein. He was seeing the footsteps of Hussein, and he was taking the dirt from that footstep, and he was kissing that dirt. He was kissing that dirt." The companion's name was Mazahir, and the son's name was Habib. This was Habib ibn Mazahir from the start. And when he received the letter of Hussein, imagine what went through his heart. But he wanted his wife also know what's happening. So when his wife asked him, "Habib, what is going on? What are you doing?" He said, "This is a letter from Hussein." He says, "Then what has he written?" He says, "Nothing. He's just writing that, you know, I would not have written this to you, except for the fact that Zainab and Umm Kulsum are with me and they're in danger. That the daughters of Rasulullah are with me, Habib, and that's why I'm writing this for you." His wife said, "What are you going to do about this?" Habib said, "I will see."
He wanted to arouse the faith and ma'rifat of his wife so that she understands that what he is going to do. Habib knows that his life is no more. Habib knows that he is going to die, but he wants to let his wife know also that, are you ready for me to die? Because I'm leaving to die. When his wife heard that, she said, then if you are not going to help Hussein, let me go and I will help Hussein. Habib said, yes, this is what I want to hear. This is what I wanted to hear. Yes, I wanted you to know that I'm leaving and I'm going to die and I'm not going to return to you. Are you ready for that? When he saw that his wife is ready for that, then Habib rode out to Imam Hussein. But Habib's entry to Imam Hussein is what I want to speak to you about, my friends. All the while, everyone who's coming to Karbala is coming towards Yazid. But when Habib came towards Karbala, the whole camp was gloomy. All the companions, they were in a state of gloom. There was despair in the sense that no one is coming to help us. No one is coming to help, even though Imam Hussein had called the people and all these people had written letters to him, but still they're not here. No one is coming out. And one day Imam Hussein says to his companions, go out. Someone is coming towards us. They went out to see what's going on. And indeed they saw that the companion Habib ibn Mazahir is coming. When Habib's arrival, the news of his arrival came to the camp of Hussein, just one person, he's an old man, he's not even a warrior, but just that one person who came to help the grandson of Rasulullah made the camp so happy, made them so glad that they all started joyfully jumping up and down that Habib is here, Habib ibn Mazahir is here. And you can just imagine Habib, an old man, thinking, I am not going to fight a lot, I will be killed soon. But just the fact someone came to help Rasulullah's family, my friend, someone came to help them, was such a big news that Habib has come to help him. Everyone is leaving us, but Habib is coming this way. This was such a news that the whole camp of Imam Hussein was jubilant in their joy and they were jumping up and down. Even the ladies heard it in the tents. Zainab said, what is this cheering about? Fizza, go out and find out what's going on. When Fizza came to find out, she came back and told Zainab, Zainab, this is Habib ibn Mazahir who has come to help your brother. When Zainab heard that, the joy that came in her heart, a smile broke out in her face and she said to Fizza, go and tell Habib, with tears in her eyes. She said, go and tell Habib, give him my salam and thank him on my behalf for coming to help the son of Rasulullah. When Fizza came out and she told Habib that, Habib started hitting his head and said, what a time has come on the family of Rasulullah that they are sending salam to a slave like me. I am a nobody and they are thanking me. What a time has come on them. Habib, if this is what you think is bad, then come and see after Karbala what has happened to the family of Rasulullah and the ladies of Rasulullah who are being dragged in the bazaar of Kufa and Sham. They are taking to the streets, and those same streets in Kufa, my friends, it was very hard for Ahlul Bayt in Kufa. You know why? Because in Sham, no one knows them. All they have heard in Sham is that they're Murtad and they're not Muslim. But in Kufa, people know Zainab. People have lived with Zainab. Zainab has lived with them. And when they see her on the street, no hijab on her head, and they see the Izzat of Rasulullah, Zainab tells them, don't you see, I am Zainab, I am the daughter of Ali, I lived here in Kufa and you are treating me like this, where is your honor? Zainab goes through the bazaar, people are throwing stones at her, ridiculing her, saying jokes about her, and they are touching her, and Zainab is walking through that bazaar, walking through those streets. Ibn Ziyad makes them go around until a time comes where they stop at one place. When they stop at one place, he says, let them sit there. They sit in that
that place, all the ladies huddle together and everyone goes around them. There's an order. Go and see them there. There are the prisoners there. Everyone comes to see them there, like everyone would see, like spectators coming to see a festival. They came there to see the Izzat of Rasulullah on the streets of Kufa. When they saw them, they were looking at them, and Zainab were each and every time would tell them, "Don't you know who we are? The granddaughters of Rasulullah." Umm Kulthum, Zainab, and the lady sitting there, and people having pity on them. Sakina is sitting in the lap of Zainab. In the lap of Zainab, she sits there, and then someone comes. Sakina just tells Zainab that, "I am thirsty, aunt. Is there any water? I am thirsty." And so someone comes forward. Zainab hears that. A lady hears that, and she goes and brings water. She has heard they're orphans. She brings water to them. I want you to see how Ahlul Bayt are treated and what has become of their position in the eyes of the people. She brought the water, gave it to Sakina. He says, "Drink this water." Sakina takes it, but she says, "I want you to make a dua before you drink it." Sakina says, "Okay, if that is the condition." She put down the water on the ground and she said, "Tell me, what is your dua? What is this dua?" She said, "First, make a dua that my children do not become yatim and orphan like you are. My children do not become like you." Sakina raises her small little palms in the air and she makes a dua to Allah, that Allah, make her dua come true. Do not make her children orphans like us. And then the second thing